reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 784, and we read Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans 8. It's found on page 1209, and we read Romans 8, beginning at verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospels. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1045, and we read Matthew 13, selected verses, beginning at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Continuing at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, the parable of the sower. And as I speak about it today, I would like to add another category of what can happen to seeds. A pastor living in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, had a patch of ground where the grass had died, and he went out to sow. He found some grass seed in his garage. He carefully prepared the soil so it had good ground for the seed. He planted it carefully. He watered it and took good care of it. And barely any seed sprouted. The pastor was frustrated. He Googled, "How long is grass seed good for when you buy it?" And Google spoke to him. After about 3 years, grass seed begins to decline in terms of its percentage of sprouting. The year was 2017. The grass seed was bought in 2004. The seed in the parable of Jesus is the Word of God. And the Word of God is a living thing. It creates heaven and earth. And it does many other things in the human heart when it is planted. When it grows, it can change a guilty heart into a forgiven heart. It can produce joy. In knowing one is unconditionally loved, when the world around you doesn't seem to love you at all, it produces hope when all earthly evidence says there is none. When many others would feel complete despair, the Christian knows that they have a heavenly home that is waiting for them, an eternal life that is a free gift from God, that the world cannot rob us of these things. We can only, if you will, give them up freely. The Word of God is absolutely powerful. Living. But Jesus tells us this parable because he wants us to know that it does need to be cultivated. And that, if you will, even though his seed is good and living and powerful, if you don't care for it. All the fruit that he promises it can produce can fail to appear. If you will, you can kill good seed. And to the illustrations Jesus offers, I'd add my own. You can kill it just by receiving it and putting it on a shelf and not doing with the seed what God intended the seed to do. There's been some interesting studies of late on what kind of people these days who aren't, if you will, born into the church and raised into the church, who aren't there every Sunday from the time they were 0 days old or maybe a week, but people outside of the church, not really an active part of it. What kind of those kind of people end up becoming active Christians? And the results of the studies are rather interesting because they suggest that, if you will, just buying the seed and putting it on a shelf is worse than not buying it at all. The phrase that was used in an article was called inoculating people against Christianity. I think you all know what inoculation is, or if you will, vaccination. That's where you take, in many instances, a weakened form of a disease and you inject it into somebody. Not enough to really make them full-blown sick, but just enough to make their body think that this disease is trying to take over. And so the body goes into gear, producing antibodies to that particular weakened form of the disease, so that later on in life, when the disease really does try to attack, the body is prepared. In essence, it says, I've been there, I've done that, I know what you are, and I'm ready for you. I will not let you in. Vaccinations, inoculations are a very good medical tool. But what the study suggested is that when it comes to things of the spirit, they're maybe not so good. What do you mean, Pastor? You ask, how do we inoculate people against Christianity? By giving them just a little bit of it. Not enough so that they really capture it and take it into their lives, but if you will, they buy it, they put it on the shelf, and then it just sits there for years and years without them doing anything with it. It looked at things like Vacation Bible School and Sunday School, where little children whose parents don't go to church, who aren't going to make this a part of their life, if you will, sort of drop them off and let them get a taste of Christianity. Not, if you will, enough to let them really get the disease. Just a little bit. And what it found is that later on in life, maybe when people are 20, 30, maybe even 40 years old, and life is in a crisis, maybe they've fallen into the trap of drugs and alcohol, maybe their family is in chaos, maybe they've fallen on financial hard times, or maybe they are just fed up with life. And somebody comes along and says, you know, I have the answer for you. You'll find it in Jesus Christ. Come to church with me. Come meet my pastor. Come visit with him. Let's read the Bible together. The response they get is, you know, I went to church when I was little. I know that stuff. That's not going to help. If you will, they've been inoculated. They never really got Christianity. But they think they did. And when they need it most, they won't even try. So it is when you buy the seed and you just set it on a shelf and do nothing with it. And then there's all those other ways that the seed can be killed. There was the seed that never even got planted. The ground was too hard. People offered to bring them to church, if you will. They didn't even want to come. They had no desire to understand what God was saying in His Word. There's that seed on the rocky ground. This is the one who hears the Word and immediately receives it with joy. But they don't put down roots. They really do not seek to bring that Word into their life, to get more and deeper into the Word. And then a trouble or a problem comes along, one which the Word can help us understand and deal with. But because they have no root, it just dies. As for what is sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the Word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word, and it proves unfruitful. And I've seen that many times in my life. Oh, it isn't always, if you will, the riches of the world that drag people away. They just get busy. Maybe it's hauling kids to soccer practice. Maybe it's a vacation area they can only enjoy on Sundays. Or a million other things that get us distracted. Starts out slow. First, you miss a Sunday. Then it's a couple of Sundays in a row, and then maybe it's a week or a month. Pretty soon you don't recognize the church except with Easter lilies and poinsettias. The Word is a powerful thing, my friends. But Jesus tells this parable because He wants us to know you can kill it in your heart. But as I look out this morning, you're not the ones that seem to me to be inclined to want to do that. Most of you are here every week. And if you will, it's not necessarily for us that this parable is intended. Oh, we need to keep it in the back of our minds as a warning. We need to keep on allowing God's Word to take deep roots in our life, to cultivate it carefully. But particularly in a week like this, where a lot of people are inviting people to be here, bringing neighbors' kids, grandchildren, we need to realize that it can't just be a one-time event. And that almost can be more damaging to a child's future in Christ than if they don't ever hear the Word of God at all. We need to keep on challenging people. Not just in a week like vacation Bible school, or not just when Sunday school is starting up, but week after week, to tell them, you know that word that you heard, there's more to it. It's deeper and wider and more wonderful than you not yet know. To help it become a part of their daily life and devotions. To make it a part of their weekly life in worship. It is good to go out and sow, but we need to cultivate that word as well. Because where it lands and what it receives makes all the difference as to whether it keeps on living and growing and producing the fruits that God promises come from His Word and come from it in abundance, or just sprouts and, if you will, dies on the vine. Thank God we're here. Thank God we know what the fruits are, and we keep on hearing that word of God and experiencing the life that it brings both now and for all eternity. But may God show us the ways, and we can teach other people how to cultivate it in their lives. To not let it be just a once-a-year thing. A word that we buy and put on the shelf, or a word we just throw on the road, or letting it land on rocky ground, or letting thorns and thistles take over and choke it out. But a word that takes deep root in people's life and grows and flourishes and produces magnificent fruit. God help us as we plant the Word, to plant it in good soil and teach people how to care for it in their lives. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright, 2001, by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.